Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, there appears to be a border war of sorts in Boston. It involves docked versus dockless bicycles, and it's getting a bit nasty. You're probably familiar with the company formerly known as Hubway, now known as Blue Bikes. It has an exclusive contract to operate its bike-sharing business in Boston. But some of its competitors use dockless bikes, which riders can drop off and pick up in various locations, and they're leaving those bikes in Boston, so the city's impounding those bikes. At a Boston bike event last week, Mayor Marty Walsh said some dockless bike companies are not following the rules.
We're looking at the issue now of some of these bike companies. I mean, they're just dropping in. That's not the opportunity right now is with Blue Bikes in the city of Boston. There's a process. So I would encourage these companies to make sure they reach out to us. Do not just start dropping bikes in and around the region. That's not how it works. And I think that we have to, we're gonna have more of a conversation regionally to look at what we do about it.
And joining us to talk about what we do about this and about the issue in general is Stacey Thompson. She's Executive Director of the Livable Streets Alliance. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also with us, Eric Barassa. He is the Director of Transportation Planning at the Metropolitan Area Planning Council. Thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Listeners, also, we want to hear from you about this debate about biking around Boston or Greater Boston. Should Boston open up bike sharing to any company? Are you having a problem with dockless bikes? You can call us at 800-423-8255 or 800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. So first, let's explain this a little bit. Erica, I'm wondering if you can start out by telling us, first of all, what Metropolitan Area Planning Council is doing with both docked and dockless bikes and how it works in Boston and a few of the suburbs.
Yes. Yeah, so Metropolitan Area Planning Council, my agency, MAPC, we're a public agency. We work with cities and towns on lots of different planning issues, particularly on planning issues where they cross municipal boundaries. So several years ago, about 8 years ago, actually, we got involved in helping particularly Boston, Cambridge, Brookline, and Somerville establish a bike sharing system. We did the public procurement on behalf of those municipalities that established the Hubway system, which, as you said, has now turned into the Blue Bike system. Mm-hmm. And over that time, the surrounding municipalities have also been interested in getting into bike sharing systems. So more recently, we helped them do a procurement for a dockless system.
So you're Switzerland in this border war, huh? You're doing both.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Okay. And we're really trying to help our municipalities want to see more cycling and want to see bike sharing. So we're doing our best to try to help that at the same time being cognizant of these sort of issues around competition.
Mm-hmm. But why is it that Blue Bikes even has an exclusive contract with Boston? Isn't that excluding competition?
So when we did the last procurement with Boston, Cambridge, Brookline, and Somerville in 2016, the whole dockless type of technology was not really that prevalent in North America. It existed in China and in Europe, but not really in North America. So, and at that time, the Hubway system was not really profitable. It was losing money. Mm-hmm. And the municipalities were really going to have to figure out how to put more money into it to expand the system because there's great demand to expand it. So we moved to a model where a company would get essentially an exclusive contract in return for being able to sell like naming rights. And that's what they did. They sold the naming rights to Blue Cross Blue Shield in return for $18 million to really increase the public bike sharing system, Blue Bikes, and expand it into a lot of the neighborhoods of Boston and deeper into Cambridge and Somerville and Brookline.
But then bike sharing took off.
Exactly. And then over the course of really the last year, a dozen or so different dockless companies came onto the scene and with a different product that is much cheaper. It doesn't have as much, it's not as expensive with the whole docks, much cheaper for municipalities to be able to have in their communities. And that's where towns like Alston and Newton and Watertown and Malden were interested in going with those dockless systems. And then in the meantime, we've seen companies that don't have permission in any of the municipalities just start coming in and dropping bicycles. And I think that's where a lot of this problem is.
Stacey, what's your take on this? Is this a turf war?
I don't think it's actually a turf war. I think what we are seeing is unprecedented interest in biking. When you actually look at this between the dockless and docked municipalities, we have 19 municipalities that are all trying to bring shared bike service to their communities. That is not happening anywhere in the country. And so, of course, it's going to be messy and, of course, it's going to be complicated because we are trying to do something that no one else has figured out yet. And that's work. And that's why MAPC exists.
Hmm. Now, I just want to mention that this is, first I want to mention that listeners can call and weigh in on this docked versus dockless bike debate here in Boston and tell us about whether you bike around the city or maybe not. Some folks say there's not the infrastructure to bike safely around Boston. Do you believe in the dockless system? And are you glad that this is being handled the way it is right now? Call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. Now, let's explain a little bit about this debate as well, because some of it involves Ant Bikes, right? A company called Ant Bikes. And we got a statement from the co-founder of Ant Bikes, John Gallagher, who said there's really no process in Boston to take part in. He says the city appears to be poised to continue to keep the market closed off in favor of their own incumbent company, which presumably is Blue Bikes, and has an exclusive contract through 2022. Gallagher's statement says, quote, in our discussions with the city, we have not heard any interest in working with any other operators. So Stacey, what do you make of that?
Well, as Eric mentioned earlier, there was a quite extensive process in 2016 that involved all four Blue Bike municipalities. In addition to that, there was a very extensive process that I happily participated in, again, led by MAPC for the dockless contract and these other municipalities. So if anything, I think the folks who are participating in these contracts would say maybe there's been too much process, but it's because there's been a tremendous amount of thought on the part of Blue Bike and Motivate, Spin, Line Bike, MAPC to get this right and ensure that people who are using these systems, people who might not be using these systems but are walking or driving in these communities feel safe. So I would say there's been a great process and that, you know, just because you didn't plug into it in the same way as others have, it doesn't mean there wasn't one.
Okay, I want to take some calls. Don is calling from Cambridge. Don, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked to hear about this last week, that the city basically has ostracized, you know, potentially any other company that comes up after 2016. Your speaker was just talking about that. I mean, in my point of view, why should the city care about which company I rent a bike from or rent a car from? And it seems like they're saying, you have to rent from who we want. Mm. And that just seems anti-competitive. And it kind of reminded me of old Boston politics, of what I've read in the paper years ago. How much money did they give the politicians to get that deal?
Do you bike, Don?
Who I rent from. Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for the call. Let's let our guests answer that. Why an exclusive contract here?
So,
do I take that, Eric?
You know, I think that, one, again, when this procurement was being done about 2 years ago, these companies, these dockless companies, largely did not exist. Mm-hmm. So they did not, you know, they did not respond to our procurement. And I think the other issue is that if you want to operate a dockless system, you're largely going to be operating it on city space. So it's going to be on city plaza space or city sidewalks. And I think that there is a role for the cities to play in regulating, you know, who uses that space. Mm-hmm. I can't go out tomorrow and just start operating a hot dog stand, you know, in the middle of the street or on Boston Common. There's a regulatory process for that. And so I think the analogy to isn't this just a private, like a private bicycle, is not the same.
Hmm. Stacey, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that what we've seen in communities where there is less regulation is that a lot of people are frustrated. So you're thinking of the pictures in China of bikes piled up everywhere. And to Eric's point, when we're talking about shared use of public space, we do want it regulated because a lot of different people want to use our streets in very different ways. And, you know, I think regardless if it's bike share, scooter share, other shared mobility options, we want to make sure that there's space for everyone and that it's fairly allocated.
Okay, I want to take some more calls. William is from Chelsea. William, you're on the air.
Hi. So I'm a teacher at Chelsea High School, and just recently, actually just yesterday, Line Bikes started showing up right outside of the high school. And I basically just had two comments. One, it's been very interesting seeing my students who normally don't have bikes or ways to get around. They are, like, immediately starting to love these things. So they are downloading the apps. They're starting to do the dockless thing. And then the second thing I had was just a question for your guest, because I'm not really sure how it works. I know my students will go from Chelsea into East Boston with the Lime bikes, and then they're going to leave them there. they leave everything everywhere, so they're probably going to leave the bike in East Boston. How do the companies know where these bikes are? And, like, you know, okay, Boston's going to impound them, but I don't know how the dockless system works, where they just kind of, it seems like people can just kind of leave them wherever, and I know for a fact my students will be doing that.
Okay. Well, thanks, William, very much for the call. Who wants to explain, like, what happens if I'm taking a dockless from Chelsea and I ride into East Boston and it's there and it gets impounded and it's messy? What do we do, Eric?
So Lime Bike is one of the two companies that is that are sanctioned to be operating in the surrounding municipalities. So that includes Chelsea and Malden, Revere, and others, Newton, Arlington, Watertown. And we know that there are people who are going to take a bike from Chelsea, of course, are going to go into East Boston. And I think what we're trying to actively work on right now is are convening the leaders in those cities and the mayors in those cities to try to find out where there are legitimate trips that are not competing with the blue bike system. So there are no blue bikes that exist in Chelsea or in Revere. If those trips are going to the edge of the blue bike municipalities connecting with the MBTA and public transit, you know, can those trips be facilitated and then use a series of incentives or disincentives to get the bicycles back into Chelsea, for example? Can we do that instead of, you know, going out and impounding bicycles?
Right.
That's the kind of compromise that we're trying to find. Now, there obviously is a challenge because the cities have these exclusive contracts. I think that's I think what your caller just talked about is a different example than a company just coming in and dropping 100 or 200 bicycles, you know, in downtown Boston, flagrant violation of what, you know, the city's policy is. That's a different story. We're trying to facilitate this legitimate regional mobility, regional transportation. And that's, you know, that's where it gets complicated. But that's what we're working on.
Okay. I'll take another caller. Kelly is calling from Marlboro. Kelly, you're on the air.
Hi. I recently come back and forth from Europe, and particularly Amsterdam, and there are bikes everywhere. There's bike racks at every single grocery store and every location. So when you say common spaces, we should just change our attitude and have those incorporated as part of our common spaces, whether it's docked or undocked. And people should just have the ability to stick it in a rack somewhere and not have to worry about it on the return thing. And I mean, if you have an exclusive contract, I don't think that was a really wise way to go. There should be more competition. There should be ways to increase the technology so that you can leave a bike somewhere and someone will figure out with GPS whether it's an abandoned bike or, you know, just needs to be rehomed to another location. So that's my point.
All right, Kelly, thanks so much for the call. You know, that does bring up a little bit, though, about infrastructure, which we haven't really talked about. And we know that there are challenges. If you've ever driven or ridden a bike or even walked in Boston, it can be very challenging for cyclists. And, you know, we talked with Anne Lusk. She's a research scientist at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And she says, you know, city doesn't have the infrastructure. Let's listen.
The more docked and dockless bikes we bring to the city of Boston, the more urgently the city of Boston should be building the bicycle infrastructure in advance of bringing the bikes.
So, Stacey, your thoughts on that? I mean, is there the money? I mean, this is a very expensive project to build this infrastructure. Who pays?
Yep. So I think that it's important to note that the city of Boston is already working on investing more in our bike infrastructure. But I would say from an advocate's perspective, I would agree with Anne Lusk and I would agree with the caller in saying that we simply do not have the infrastructure that we need to keep people safe. The earlier caller who mentioned his students, you know, part of me jumps up and down and says, yes, this is exactly what we want. But, you know, whether it's a docked or dockless system, we want more people on bikes. It's better for our communities. And at the same time, I thought, oh, do they have a safe route to get
right
into East Boston. Mm. And so I would say this is an issue that the city of Boston is facing, along with all of the other municipalities that are engaging in docked or dockless bike share. And I would say that bike parking is also a huge issue. We build parking structures to store cars in downtown Boston, but it's hard to find a bike rack. Mm. We would say we need an equal investment in places to store bikes, which are more efficient.
Well, also, though, I sometimes pay $50 to park my car there. Will cyclists pay for those bike systems, right? It's all about the money.
Yeah, but I think that there is a misperception on who pays and who benefits. Cyclists do pay into the system, and cycling is less of a burden on the system. A 2,000-pound vehicle puts much more wear and tear on our streets.
Oh, absolutely. It's not the car versus bike debate. It's the cost debate and who mm-hmm. shares the burden. If a motorist is paying for parking, who pays for the bike parking, right?
Sure. And some folks do pay for bike parking, but it's also a public good to have more people on bikes. It's healthier. It's more efficient. And there are many other places where people park for free on city streets.
Mm. Eric, do you think that what's your thoughts on infrastructure and how infrastructure should be improved and paid for?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's a big priority for the cities and towns in Greater Boston to want to build more cycling infrastructure, upgrade, you know, bicycle lanes into separated cycle tracks. And, you know, MAPC, we do a lot of planning with the cities and towns to build a connected network of trails. The reason why we care about bike sharing and the reason why we've invested our own resources into facilitating these public procurements is because we want to see more cycling. We want to see that culture of cycling. We want to get people out of their cars. We want to see the public health benefits. So this is complicated around how the private sector engages with these things. But at the end of the day, what we really do want to see is more people cycling and more mobility options for people.
Do you also think that the future is letting more companies into Boston to compete?
I don't know. And I think that one thing we need to think about is the future, is it more private sector investment in these type of services, or is it more of creating a public bike sharing system? And I think that's a question that we sort of need to grapple with, especially as we see this sort of, you know, these little fiefdoms of systems, you know, springing up. I mean, in Salem right now, they have their own system that's different than any of this. Obviously, nobody's biking from Salem, you know, down to Boston on a regular basis.
Oh, no.
But you know, I think we're going to see these, you know, more municipalities are going to want to see these. They see it as an amenity for their residents. And if I have to download, you know, 50 different apps to use it, you know, it just creates a lot of confusion. And, you know, do we need to move to a place where we're coordinating it better?
Okay. Well, we are out of time. Eric Barossa, Director of the Metropolitan Area Planning Council's Transportation Commission. Is that right?
Yes.
I got it. Okay. Thanks very much for being with us. Also, Stacy Thompson, Executive Director of the Livable Streets Alliance. Thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. That's it for us today. This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker.